welcome into Attack from Third, presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. Wanna drive? CarMax. We have Lori Lindsay in the house. McCall Zerboni's coming in fresh off of calling the Angel City in North Carolina match. She will join us very shortly. And I'm in the host seat tonight, Darian Jenkins. So happy to be here. We have a fun, jam-packed show for you guys. Summer is here. Match week 10 is over. We're going to recap this weekend of games, as well as give you our team of the week and a special interview off of the match that just concluded. Whether you're here watching on YouTube or on GalazoNet or listening as a pod, we appreciate it so much. Comment, like, subscribe. Let us know what is going on. Lori Lindsay, are you home now? You're out of TST world. How did it go? How did it finish?
Yeah, it didn't go so well. I mean, especially after us winning the $1 million the last 2 years. So we were hoping for the three-peat, but to be honest, I was only there for a couple of days. Given all of our schedule, as you would know this too, it was just challenging to be away for so long. I've got World Cup prep on the horizon, or currently with the World Cup on the horizon. So yeah, but unfortunate because the gals lost today in the semifinals, so there won't be a three-peat, but good laughs, good times. Good to see everybody for a couple of days. How about you? You've been all over the place.
Lori, I'm trying to be like you. I'm trying to catch up.
Yeah, let's go.
No, it was great. We had Crystal Dunn on the show today doing Women's FA Cup final. Manchester City gets the double this season. Bunny Shaw extends. It was a fun day. Jam-packed, well, which so, we absolutely love.
Being with Crystal in the studio, I loved it. She's like, I'm channeling my inner Darian. Listen, aren't we all? Let's go.
Oh my gosh. I was like, I don't know what to say. I love her.
You're like, yeah, that's right. Let's go.
Well, let's get into the matches because we're coming off Angel City, North Carolina. We're going to get to that in a little bit. So let's start off with arguably the biggest game of the weekend. It was the clash at what was the top of the table, Portland Thorns, Utah Royals. I was on the world feed calling this game, and it was chaos. Providence Park, a fortress. Portland have done so well. They hadn't conceded at home in, what, 8 matches, I believe, in regular season. And Utah come away with only 1 point. They end up drawing 2-2. Lori, what was your biggest takeaways of this game? Because it was a little controversial, in my opinion.
Okay, great. Yeah. You were on this call. I do want to ask you about that in a second. Yeah. But you know what? I'm loving both of these teams. I think with Utah, no one knew what to expect or tried to keep their expectations low, given just the past couple of seasons when we've seen them surge at the second part of the season, but the first part has been a struggle, and wow, complete opposite. So just huge credit so far to the start of the season. We've had Kate Delfava on here talking about what a turnaround it is. I thought they were going to steal the 3 points, which would have been, to me, basically 6 points, because it is so difficult to play, but also to steal all 3 points at Providence Park. Nearly got it. But I also think it proves just how important Olivia Moultrie is to this team. And when she's fully healthy, you know, she really, really, at the current form that she's in, just her play in general, makes this attack click, right? She's really the player that's making everyone better in the attack. But I would say, you know, you were on the call, so I'll just be curious in terms of the feel in general. But one, to call the 8 seconds, because that hasn't been called yet this year, even though they have been, you know, they have been pushed to make the call. So that's fine. It did seem like that was a clear 8 seconds, even though McGlynn, you saw, you know, not a fan of that. Regardless, it's called. But then the Spanstra foul to me looks like any physical play that you would see when you're defending a corner. I thought it was soft. I could have been on that call and feel very different just with the feel of it for 90 minutes. So maybe you feel differently, but it looks soft to me. Am I wrong about that, or do you disagree?
I don't disagree. It was 100% soft. I think Perry did a really good job of, you know, selling it, which, it's the modern game. It's what you do. There's eyes on everything. We have VAR. She shouldn't have extended her arms out as much as she did. When you're on a corner, Larry, you know, there's pushing, there's pulling, you give bumps here and there. But you know what? Before we get more into this, we need to bring in our third teammate, McCulter Boney, because we know she's going to have a hot take on this.
Yeah.
Off of the Angel City, North Carolina Courage call. McCall.
Yes.
You crushed it.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Great, great call. Can I just say something about what we talked about off the air? In the notes, McCall, Darian has Macaulay Culkin on the call. And I'm like, have I missed major news? I was literally Googling. I shouldn't even be putting myself on blast like this in this whole chat.
Macaulay Culkin, NWSL.
And it was like, there are no results of those two. And I'm like, what's this news? And it's just like a play on words with you being on the call. So.
Well, no, honestly, I always tell people, I'm like, when I die, please don't show anyone my Google searches. They're either going to land me in jail or make me look like the dumbest person on the planet. So,
yeah, great call. Welcome.
Yeah, McCall, you absolutely crushed it. But we'll get into that in a little bit because, of course, we have a special interview that is coming in very soon. But, McCall, we were just talking about the Portland Thorns Utah Royals game and that. I mean, I think Utah dropped points there. They should have come away with a win. And we were just discussing the that's the first call I've seen of the 8-second hold on the ball with the goalkeeper. And it was right on 8 seconds. And then Spanstra with the shove. Did you think that was soft to give a penalty for that?
It's so funny because I was just talking with a gentleman who plays in the MLS, Alex Bono, about it. We had a huge hot take debate sitting on a panel about 8 seconds because he's a goalkeeper. So I was like, from your perspective, you know, do you love this rule? Do you hate it? And he's like, listen, we're just out there trying to help the players on the field. When we're holding the ball longer, it's usually for a moment where like, hey, our team needs a little bit longer of a breather or we're trying to kill the momentum. It's for in favor of the on-field players. But somehow it frustrates the on-field players the most.
Yeah.
So they're kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't. And, you know, if the rule is there, then call it because it's the same as anything, a handball, a penalty. There's a rule in place for a reason. And when referees are inconsistent with calls, that's when people start to get frustrated. So listen, if it's over 8 seconds, you got to call it.
Yeah. It just felt it was right on 8 seconds, though. I went back and was looking at it because when it happened in the game, I was like, whoa, hold on. Also, the camera, you know, it was really difficult to tell. And then just.
Okay, so let's just say, okay, 8 seconds warranted to your point, right?
Yeah,
McCall?
Cool. Yeah.
So, but my question is in once they've rewarded the corner kick, then how, I mean, is that a, to me, it was like, is that a penalty kick? It's fine that they called the 8 seconds. I know that they've been encouraged to do that. To me, though, this is where I'm just like sometimes, and I get that there's like hard and fast rules, but it's like players, right? This is where you feel the game. Is that a legitimate penalty kick to warrant like you're dropping 2 points, right? And again,
I just think her arms were so extended.
That's fair. That's fair.
So you're thinking like the punishment doesn't fit the crime?
Yeah, I'm just like there. And granted, I do like that point. I like what Darian's saying. If the arms are extended, if they weren't extended, then it's like, no. But it just, to me, I was like, is this a full-on penalty kick in the 90-something minute, right, to change the outcome of this game? And I don't know. I just feel like, and again, if you guys were on the call, if you two were on the call for the 90 minutes, I'm just curious how the game was refereed for those 90 minutes, because maybe that's warranted with how that, with that, those two calls being called.
Yeah, right, it's a physical game. I just think Spanstra made it far too obvious.
That's fair. That's totally
I'm just
fair.
Like, that's a brave call from a referee.
It
like,
was.
You know, that's a game changing call. And as a referee, your job is to pretty much stay out of it. Like, you shouldn't be noticed. You shouldn't be mentioned. That's what refereeing a good game is. Like, not being outstanding, but being in standing. So I think to make a very impactful call like that, personally, I think I would have just let it go.
Yeah. So this is such an interesting conversation. We don't need to get derailed. I just have like so many questions about this because I always keep going back to England versus Italy in the Euro semifinal.
Oh my God, that came to mind too.
And to me, it's like there is also a feel for the game, right? It's like players are expected to feel the game. Like there is an overarching 90 minutes on how the game has gone. And even though we have VAR, even though we have all of these – these things now where you can check, it's still, that is the responsibility of a referee, in my opinion, is to just kind of understand like how big of a play this is. Do we just let it go? And to me, I understand, I like the point you're making, Darian, in terms of Spanish's arms extended. So if it's obvious, then that makes much more sense to me. But like, I don't know, from the angles that I saw, I was like, this, what? And this is going to be the game tying goal after the 8 second rule.
It was wild. It was tough. It left a lot to be discussed, but you know, it didn't. Riley Jackson and the North Carolina Courage, and she's on standby right now off of a massive win for the Courage and bagged the sweetest of assists tonight. So let's bring in the star, U.S. Women's National Team member, Riley Jackson. Congratulations on the win. How are you feeling coming off of that?
I feel so good. I think the team is really excited. Obviously, it's huge going into the break, and we've had 3 wins in a row for the first time this season, and we're really on a roll, and so it's super exciting to end on a sweet note before the break, and that really just gives us some renewed ambition for the second half of the season, I'd say. I'm just really excited, and obviously not ready for national team camp.
Okay, so that goal celebration, though, you guys had like a little thing going on. What was that all about?
Okay, so the Japanese girls taught us this game last night. It's called Bunny Bunny Carrot Carrot. It's kind of hard to explain, but they're always so goofy and like making us do silly things with them. And so we were doing that last night, just hanging out because they're some of my best friends. And we were like, okay, if one of us scores tomorrow, this is our celebration. And it just so happened that I assisted Monaco, so it was even more perfect. But our team's just so close. So moments like that are super special for us.
If I Googled Bunny Bunny Carrot Carrot, would I learn how to play?
Honestly, I have no idea. I think it's a Japanese thing. So.
Okay, let's check McCall's Google searches again. Riley, well, first of all, before we get into your national team call-up, congratulations on that, but we'll get to that in a second. But I do want to touch on something that you just said about the back-to-back wins on the road. And you would have known how challenging it has been the last couple of seasons in terms of away wins for you all. What do you think has been the difference so far this year?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a belief thing for us. I think we go into every game knowing that we can win. We have an outstanding group of leaders on the team, and the staff and the players. Last night, our head of leadership, Grant, did a thing with us where we all took a rock and wrote on that rock one person that was just like meant the most to us. Just kind of honoring them with that rock, and acted like today was the last day that that person would see us play. So just things like that, going into games with a mentality that we're playing for something greater than ourselves and playing for each other, I think is so special because we're really just a family. And I think that's really helped us this season. So,
oh, that's incredible. I feel like you could, watching you guys this season, there's a different level of togetherness and I think confidence that you can see on the pitch, that even when things do break down, it doesn't seem like it defines the team for the rest of the game like maybe it did in prior seasons. But Riley, congrats on the win, but I want to ask you about getting called back into the national team. She's going to Brazil. She's playing against Brazil. How confident are you feeling, especially coming off of that win and then just getting to go into another camp?
Yeah, I'm stoked. I think obviously, getting in that environment for the first time in January, you want to keep working to get back there. And with the World Cup next year, it's really crunch time and want to keep pushing as hard as I can. But I'm just so grateful that on my day-to-day environment is propelling me to get back there. I think, you know, getting in, going back to the 23s and then coming back, it's just even more motivating. And it gives me a lot of confidence in my performance this first half of the season, especially because I've been asked to do something a little bit different than I'm used to and been a little bit uncomfortable in that. And I think it's proved that I have more layers to my game that can, push me back into that roster. So I'm really excited about it and grateful for the opportunity. And I know there's like a lot more work to do. So
Riley, I'm so excited for you too. You are such a wise, mature player. I mean, obviously turning professional when you were 17, like that is more than most can say. So incredible. But, you know, going into that U.S. Women's National Team environment, what do you think that you can bring? Like, what do you love about your game that adds to our country?
Yeah, I think I've always been a really technical player. I think I'm a smart, intelligent player on the ball. And I think one of my strengths is knowing when to keep the ball, when to go forward, change of tempo and things like that. So I think just the control of the midfield is something that I like to bring in. Obviously, there's so many amazing players that are already in that midfield that I love getting to play with and also have such unique strengths. For me, it's just continuing to add layers to my game, But yeah, I'm just super excited. I love playing with the girls there. And obviously I've looked up to a lot of them for a long time. So it's even more special for me.
There was this moment in the first half where somebody rushed a shot and you like turned it around and you're like, come on, calm down, calm down. I was so impressed to see that from you, you know, even though you're young comparison to the rest of the league, that you were still very confident and proud in your leadership to help control the game. Mm-hmm. So good for you.
Thanks.
She's taking after you, McCall. She knows. Right? Riley, I just want to ask, do you know if you'll be playing a little bit deeper or you'll be playing higher? Have you had any conversations with Emma Hayes about that? Given
I haven't yet, but I'm assuming I will when I get into camp. So.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Where do you like better? Where do you like to be, an 8? Do you like to be a 10, a 6, or a double pivot? What do you enjoy most?
I just like playing football. I don't care where I am on the pitch.
Great answer.
I was like, I just like playing midfield. Please don't take anywhere else. Like, anyone in the midfield's fine. Just nothing else, please.
Yeah. Well, Riley, congratulations on a massive 3 points going into a summer break. And congrats on getting called back into camp. We cannot wait to watch you guys play against Brazil. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, no, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Riley Jackson.
Have fun.
Bye.
Oh, I love when we get to interview her.
Amazing.
McCall, you said it though, like wise beyond her years. You
know,
she's
real.
So young.
And like, yeah, just, yeah, she acts like she's way older, confident. And her soccer IQ is really next level. You can see the way she moves on the field and controls the game. And yeah, exceptional.
Yeah. And that assist was just.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was interesting. We were talking with Mac Lynn before a game earlier this year. I think I was telling you this, Darian, but and he was talking about when he was scouting the team to like get to know the players, get to understand just the organization before he was coming in. There was two things. He was like, Ashley Sanchez, want to play her a little bit wider. Well, that's what's happening. And then Riley Jackson, play her higher because she is actually more of an 8. Hybrid 10-ish than he thinks that, and then she is a 6, and it's just about working on different angles to get her on the ball to play those final passes. But he actually thinks, yeah, when he was just watching, she loves to get on the ball. It's just about finding her higher up the field and allowing her to showcase still some of those attributes. So it's just been fun to watch some of these players with other coaches coming in, seeing different things, right, and seeing their tendencies and where they place them. And credit to them, because as we know, as former players, how challenging that can be in terms of coming in, having to make changes on the fly and like learn in real time. And then it takes a little bit of time for all of that to come to fruition. But we're seeing that now with the Courage.
I think too, the buy-in that he is getting from this side, we're finally seeing this team have some joy and I think express themselves. I mean, we've all played and had coaches where, oh, you're not going to get the best out of me because this isn't where I became a pro. This isn't the reason that I'm a pro. Yes, I can develop at this level, but you're not going to get my absolute best. And I think we're finally seeing these pieces all come together. And this is a crazy stat. This is the first back-to-back road win since April and May of 2023 for the Courage.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
Crazy, right, Cole?
Yeah. I mean, considering the history and the ground that was laid, to have such a gap in performance. And yes, they went through a lot of changes, so you have to give them a little bit of grace there. But super props to Mac. They're responding to him so well. And, you know, interviewing some of the gals a couple times, they call him a girl dad. Like, it seems like he's like a girl dad and they all feel taken care of. And nothing drives me nuts more when you see a player being played out of position or being played out of their strengths. It's unfair to the player. It's unfair to the team. It's like there's wasted opportunity and strengths because you're not utilizing what they're best at. And then also the player starts to shut down because they're not feeling good and they're not enjoying their game. It's the worst thing you can do for players to play them outside of their strengths.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's why we're seeing them get the best out of their team. Well, everyone, let's take a quick break. And then we are going to go back into talking about the Portland Thorns against Utah and as well go around the grounds and talk about the rest of the league. So stick with us after this quick one. Welcome back to Attacking Fair, presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. Want to drive CarMax. All right, we just spoke with Riley Jackson. If you missed it, go back and listen to it. She's an incredible interview before she goes off to Brazil with U.S. Women's National Team. But we've got to talk about Angel City. what is going on? Just some quick nuggets before we get into it. They have one win in their last 8 matches after starting hot in the season. They have conceded 6 goals in the final 15 minutes of this season, leading the NWSL and conceding that late in a match. McCall, your head is down. What's happening? You were on the call. What do you see is just going wrong? Is it their age? Is it youngin' problems? Like, what's going on?
I think for me, first and foremost, they're far too big of a club with far too many resources, experience to be having performances like this and not be making the playoffs consistently, but also to rely on one player. If Jan's daughter is out, that completely changes their effect on the game. And what she does is she's able to stretch the line and put so much pressure on back line. So then it gives more space to those youthful players in the midfield, you know, that don't necessarily have that game understanding yet to have a little bit more of their way. But then, you know what? Go spend some more money, get some more players, you know, thicken up your attacking front line. There's just no reason that Angel City should not be performing, in my opinion. And yes, youth can get a little bit of an excuse because, you know, it's really difficult for them to put together a 90-minute match even right now because they go missing for 10, 15 minutes at a time because inconsistencies come with young players. That's for sure. But then you need a healthy blend of experience in every line and someone who can take the game by the horns and not let that youth outshine the whole entire pitch.
I mean, they aren't even that young though either, right? I mean, they're not, besides Suarez sometimes too, McCall, like they're not starting any rookies, right? I mean, they have like the experience, Giselle, they have, right? So I'm backing up the point in terms of, you know, I started off with a 3-game unbeaten streak. I think everybody's like, all right, this Angel City, and then lose the game to Orlando right before the April international break. And then it's just have not been able to regroup since. And obviously we've seen Jan's daughter, to your point, McCall, she's been out in main piece, but yes, I agree. I think really true and true. That was my biggest question coming into this season outside of Jan's daughter. And obviously we know what Riley Tiernan did last year, but sometimes that's very difficult to replicate in your second season. To score that many goals, especially when a lot of people are expecting you to score that many goals, right? And have that pressure on you. But who is going to score the goals outside of Jan's daughter was my biggest question. And that's where they've struggled, right? And so, and they have a lot of they start off these games really well. They're putting North Carolina under complete pressure early on in that game, had the better control of the first half, in my opinion. And they just started having to chase the game all the time. And they start to get too big of gaps between their midfield and back line. That has, honestly, to me, makes no sense because that has legitimately, since day one of this organization, has been the reoccurring theme. So I'm always like, hold up, like, what is going on here? So, yeah. It's unfortunate. This break, given the form that they've been in, comes at a necessary time, despite typically you being like, you want to get some points. A tie would have felt better than anything, really, at this point in time. Obviously, better than the loss going into this long break. So, but maybe an excellent time to regroup, and we'll see some movement from them in this break.
Especially a late loss again.
Yeah.
Which is just like details, mental lapses, and moments where you can't shut off, like transitions, but nail on the head. They are so expansive, and I think they rely on the speed of their back line a lot. These forwards, the attacks, it's too good. You can't, there has to be a first phase. You chasing back and tracking players down should be the third phase of your defensive posture.
Especially against the North Carolina team, right? That has like the ability, like a Riley Jackson, who we just spoke to, Monaka Sanchez, depending on where she picks up the ball. I mean, these players will thrive.
Yeah, don't give them space to operate in.
You're right. They're just going to either go 1v1 or combine around you. Mm-hmm. We saw in their go-ahead goal.
Yeah, I think their shape needs to change, and they need some more attacking firepower. Like, short skull gores. Oh, my God. Goal scorers. Jeez,
that sounds like me. In these weekends, I'm like making things up.
but while you do not have those things, mentality. It's what you can give. And giving up goals at the end of the game is something you can control. It's focus, it's diligence, it's organization. And actually, you can train mentality. I mean, Darian, Lori, we've all been teammates before. How many times have you been with a coach where you do these mock trials, right? Like, you take one player off the pitch when you're playing 11s, and it's like, okay, all of a sudden you're down a man. You know, this is the formation we go to. You practice that, those moments. Yeah. Of mentality and how you want to go about it, whether you're down, whether you're up, whether you're chasing a goal, whether you're in the lead, like those things can be practiced, and you exercise that into not only your formation and how you're going to play for the remainder of the game, but also that mentality and how important it is to chase a lead or hold a lead.
Yeah. It's tough scenes for Angel City, but I'm interested. I think it's one of those teams that has been looking forward to this summer break and hopefully bring in some more attacking power. And it gives them some time to problem solve a lot of those issues. Another team we didn't get to talk about too much because we were so thrown off by the 8-second rule and the soft but obvious penalty to give. A little contradictory, but I think we can call it that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Thorns, though, coming their way back into the game at home. I am actually not sure this break is great for Portland. I think that they've been building and been very good. Sophia Wilson scoring, Olivia Moultrie being back. Yes, it gives her time to get up to full strength back with the team. But I just think they've been a joy to watch. But when I watch them, their biggest Achilles heel, that center back pairing, is the chemistry's not always there. I feel like sometimes they're on almost two different speeds or shifts. I don't know. Lori, you're kind of nodding in agreeance. Do you feel the same?
Yeah, I think too, that's one of the positions that you think, okay, we're going to be steady in terms of the pairing, and they've chopped and changed there. I should look into the stat, but where they've changed the most, it feels like that center back position. So, which is interesting, right? Especially with a team that's currently in, well, I don't know how the standings have changed since we've been on this show, but they're in the top four
right now. I believe they're in third.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say third, but I wasn't sure. So, but I've been really impressed with this Portland team, and talk about a team that's had to, much like North Carolina, had to learn and on the fly with their coach coming in the day before their first game. So I just think actually maybe this break for Portland, I'm going to take a different approach. I think maybe it's coming at the right time because they've been steady. I feel like they've been on this upward trajectory, and then it's, you know, the last game against Kansas City, it was the end of a three game week where you end in Kansas City, which we all know is so challenging to play in given the record that Kansas City has there in terms of being unbeaten. And then they come home and play the current tied for number one against them team. So to tie, go into this break, I feel like, yes, you're going to see some players go off with the national team, but just gives them more time, I think, to be together. But I agree, that has to be a position where they need to start to say, let's lock this down. Let's not chop and change regardless of who we're playing, who's winning that position, who are we going to go with, and just like stick with it so that can evolve, because that is a tough position to say, hey, listen, I'm looking next to me each time hey, we're moving. Also for like a Mackenzie Arnold too, right? If you're trying to like move the back line or keep it steady and solidify the back line, then that's a strange position at this point in time for not to be anchored down, given how good they have been, in my opinion.
Well, Mackenzie Arnold has the most saves in the league for a reason. And, you know, for me, if you would have asked me if Portland would be here right now, I definitely would not have thought that at the beginning of the season. And the reason being, looking at their back line, that would have leaked goals for me. That's what I would have thought. I wouldn't have thought it was this secure. But anytime you have Sophia Wilson on your team in form and health, you have a chance for being in the top eight and making the playoffs. End stop.
And I'll add Moultrie in that. I'll add Torden. I think those three, they have been excellent. Moultrie being back is huge. But also, shout out to Jesse Fleming.
You know, unsung hero of the first third of the season.
No doubt. She has put in the work. We always know that her engine for like, a slighter size player is remarkable. She can run all day. And, maybe it's that Sam Coffey's not there. She realized, okay, I need to take a whole nother step forward to help this team, but she looks more comfortable. This looks like the most comfortable, most dominant Jessie Fleming that we've seen since she's been in the NWSL, in my opinion. And a huge part of the reason why they have been in that position, you know, I'm giving shout outs to UCLA and I don't like it. I just realized. So I'm going to retract everything I just said to you Bruins. No, I'm just joking. But I do feel like she is a big reason because similarly that we've talked about the gaps between Angel City, their midfield and back line, that has been an issue for Portland in the past. And those seem to be, you know, that continuity seems to be a lot better regardless of that pairing in the center back position.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to a team that also is ending with this break on a very strong note, but lost a big player. We still don't know what the injury is. Orlando Pride beating Bay 3-1. Conti gets a goal, comes up big for Bay, but then it's Banda time, baby. She gets a brace, also gets an assist with Corey Dyke scoring an absolute screamer. Corey Dyke was incredible in this match. But you guys, Banda. And we've seen what Orlando is like without a Barbara Banda. McCall, how concerned are you if she does have to use this entire break and then some to come back from the knock that she got in this game?
Honestly, I think this last match that she just performed, contributing to all three goals, a brace and then an assist, it was the trailer to a horror movie that's about to unravel here without Banda. They do not, and they've showed that in the past, that they're kind of a one-man band, Banda. And that just came to me. Sorry, everyone, for my dad jokes. I'm really worried about them and anxious to see how they return after this break. And, you know, maybe Banda's injury is something that if she just rests over these 3 weeks, then it's not as serious as they think. But clearly they didn't learn her lesson when she was out for quite a bit last season to either go get more attacking players or develop a different style of play. They're a completely different team when she's not on the pitch and not available.
I mean, listen, the hope is, first and foremost, Banda is okay, right? Like, I hope so.
Yeah.
Hopefully Ovalle will be coming back too.
It was night and day when she was on the pitch as well.
Yes. So that is it. That is another player that they brought in. But I also think just sometimes, yes, they need to bring, but we saw this with Kansas City too and Chiwenga. I mean, they're just, these two teams are just, but these are two of the best attackers in the entire world. Strikers, like, it's just like they are going to change teams in the way that they play. It's just the way it is. And so, but to your point, yeah, McCall, hopefully she is okay. And they get Ovalle back, and then this team looks like they're off and running again because they're starting to collect some points that are necessary. And I feel like Banda, like, even as hard as this is to believe, this looks like the best she's even played in her career.
Yeah.
She has like the variety of which she is like attacking teams and creating and scoring goals.
But she makes something out of nothing.
Yeah.
Like a straight ball, she can pick it up, go between the center backs, juke the keeper, juke a center back two times and still put it away. Like,
let me just go stand out wide and then you have to adjust. And then I'll just bend a ball into the far post. Like, what?
No. Yeah. And like, she's leading the league in shots on target. So it's not like she's just woofing her foot at it. And it's like counting as a shot on target.
Yeah.
He's getting herself into so many positions all over the attacking third, wink, wink, to make things happen, honestly. And you can see her finish in a variety of ways, whether it's her head, whether it's her instep, laces, left foot, right foot, on the run, taking two touches, one touch, from distance. I mean, my word.
With 18 games to go after the break.
Oh, my gosh. You know what else, too? So she's scored 3 braces so far this season. Yeah. She scored 3 braces last season. To your point, Lori, she's even in better form than last season. And that's not going to be her only brace if, you know, stays healthy. She's just warming up.
Yeah. But a team, though, that needs a little warmth, maybe a hug, Bay. Bay, I like feel for the players on Bay because you can see the ideas. And they actually have some really beautiful spells of possession. You see what they're trying to do. There's just the execution, the like bite in the final third isn't there for Bay. And I feel that they get bullied a bit by the teams that they're playing. They're sitting in 13th. Their roster's thin right now. They're playing on 2 players with red cards. Where's the panic meter, Lori, with Bay? Where are you sitting going into the break?
You know, panic meter feels strong just in the sense that I wasn't even sure what to expect this year. I mean, obviously when they got Alex Pfeiffer and Claire Hutton, I was like, okay, all of a sudden this team's going to look. And then Girelli, but Girelli looks like a player that has so much experience to score goals. It's just getting used to the pace right now still of the NWSL. And that's just going to take, that just takes time, right? When you get up in a position to be able to, I feel like she's putting herself in great positions. It's just to get the shot off. It has to come that quicker because of the pace and the pressure that we see in the NWSL. So I think when those sorts of things starts to come together, hopefully Pfeiffer will come, we'll get back by the start of this second part of the season. So it's panic in the sense that you want these teams to have high ambition to do well, right? And you can sense that from Bay, like, you know, changing the coach. You knew that they're trying to make some changes, bring in Girelli, they're bringing in Pfeiffer, Hutton, and all the people that we've mentioned, and other players as well. But this is also a young team, it feels like. A young team that's navigating, still building, new coach. So panic meter doesn't feel like as strong as it would for other teams. But at the same time, you know, you want to start picking up points. You want to start keeping yourself in a position to get into the playoffs.
Well, a team that is in that playoff line, McCall, Kansas City. Are they back, baby? Was the beginning of the season just like a fever dream that we all want to forget about, and they're back being that team to be feared in the NWSL?
Not really, to be honest. I think that result was so important for them to have consistent wins and then obviously, you know, propel themselves to the top of the table, top four, top five, what have you. But I'm telling you, their performance against Boston, which is now considered one of the lower bottom teams, if they were playing a better quality team in that match, they could have been down 2-0 at halftime. I think that they just didn't have a lot of flow, no fluidity. They were losing first and second balls. It didn't look like they had a lot of pattern play towards goal or any rhythm or any, you know, method to their madness. It's like almost kind of similar to Orlando when they don't have that route one look for mm-hmm. Chuinga available. They haven't figured out how to adjust. It was a disappointing first half from Kansas City for me for the level that we expect and that we have seen in the past.
Yeah, well, maybe after this break, this is what they need to get back onto that really dynamic level where they're putting 2-3 away against teams. I will say Boston has become quite formidable because just how physical they are. I think that their biggest strength is that they disrupt any rhythm that teams try to get. But another team that is coming off of a win, thank you to Hal Hirschfeld, Spirit. That was an insane game against Seattle Reign. Seattle clawing their way back into the match. How confident are we with Seattle, or excuse me, with Spirit going into this summer break, Lori?
Yeah, confident. I think this is the team that we all thought going into this season in general was going to be competing for the top, right? And a little bit off of that, just given, I think, some of the ebbs and flows to the season in general. Just, you know, last weekend they didn't play in regular season play because they're playing in CONCACAF Cup, or who knows how to say that. Honestly, it perplexes me every time. And yeah, but I this team, I think we're just going to continue to see fire in all cylinders, really, as they go on. They have a ton of one of the most thanks, LOL, CONCACAF W Champions Cup.
Thanks, Abby. Word salad. There's always a W, there's a cup in there, totally. And there's going to be a champion. Yeah. It just depends on the order.
There's something wrong with me tonight. This is wild. Good thing we're going into
a break. Lori needs a break.
Yeah, I just think the depth on this team for Washington, I think they have one of the most consistent roster lineups that we've seen. That has also been shown to be successful in this league when you keep the continuity of your starting 11. Yeah, I think if they can continue to find ways to just be even more clinical in the final third with the amount of opportunities, the amount of firepower they have up top, then, you know, the ceilings – it's it's theirs, right? They have such a high ceiling that it's just like, go for it, my opinion.
Yeah, I think this team is showing a different level of resiliency. Maybe we didn't get this early in the season last year. Well, Gotham coming off of another win just by one goal. Gotham's not scoring a bunch right now, but Jordan Dudley is on fire and I think completely the front runner for Rookie of the Year. Denver still looking strong. I think, my opinion, they're where I expected them to be with how they recruited. McCall, you agree? I think that they're playing exactly what I think they should be. And then with Heaps coming in, they're just going to keep getting better.
I love the way Denver plays. I think they're the complete package. They can do everything. They can control the ball. They have attacking prowess in the front line. They have solid defenders, a great goalkeeper. They have good rhythm in the game. They can play possession. They can play counterattack. They can tuck into tight spaces defensively and, you know, do a mid block. They can do a high press. I think they were constructed very well piece by piece, and they have it all if they want to.
I completely agree. I think this team just looks so strong. And then you have a leader coming in after this break with Lindsey Heaps. So just a force. Last but not least, Racing Louisville going into the break, sitting sadly in last with only 7 points. Struggle season for Racing Louisville. Lori, what do they need in this break to just get something on the board over the summer?
Yeah, oh, I'm bummed because we all love Bev Yanez and always just like rooting for her and her team. To be honest, I think it's just tough, right? Because you see teams spending, you see teams bringing in, you know, players that they're spending a lot of money on, players that have been proven regardless of what league they're playing in, scoring goals. And I think when you don't spend that money, you see what happens, right? And if not everybody, and this is a team that has built on, we saw this last year, is a team that's built on like everybody performing, everyone playing together, which I think we all can like rally behind and you feel that. But if one thing, if you pull a string and one thing goes a little bit wrong in a game, then that's what you see. You just drop points, right? And it's never like huge amounts. It's just these one goal games, but still it'll cost you when you can't sneak out points. So that's just been, I think, the difficult part. And, but again, I think it goes both ways with when you look at these teams. This is a good time to go into a break probably for Racing Louisville in the sense like, let's just regroup, take a breath. I will give them credit though. They always seem to be ready to fight. Again, though, if you can't find that little bit of extra magic that you're looking for, that's going to kind of get you out of a, you know, a rut or whatever you want to call it, then you have to rely on the entire team. Right. And that's what can be tough in this league, especially as like you start to see some of those top teams separate themselves.
Yeah. They're definitely missing a player that's going to give them the X factor to consistently put some goals away. And maybe over the summer they'll get it. You never know. There's a lot of big players up for grabs right now on the transfer market. And of course,
for sure, we'll
probably be talking about those rumors later on in another show. But players that were the X factor this last week, we are going to be talking about next with our attacking third team of the week. So stick with us after this quick break. What is up, friends? Welcome back to Attacking Third, presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. Wanna drive CarMax. Favorite segment of the week, everybody, our attacking third after dark team of the week. Who stood out? Who scored some goals? Who did so well in this first third of the season? I'm so lucky I got forwards once again this week. I'm going to start us off. First up, easy choice, Barbara Banda, 3 goal contributions, 2 goals, and assists to give her team the win. Next up, I have Jordan Dudley, my contender for Rookie of the Year right now. If we were picking, she would get it. 1 goal, giving Gotham the lead. She likes to slice and dice. She can score with both of her feet. She's dynamic and growing in confidence constantly. And last but not least, Dudinha. Inevitable. Maybe not the flashiest, maybe not getting double-digit goals, but she is close to getting double-digit contributions. 5 goals, 4 assists, leading the San Diego side. And just looks like she is enjoying and bringing that Brazilian samba on the pitch. So those are my forwards for right now. Ladies, any questions, thoughts, objections?
I like it.
None?
No, I love it.
Wow, what a week. Okay, nothing. Well, let's go on to midfield. McCall, you've got this one.
I'm so excited to talk about this player because I feel like everybody knows she's, you know, one of the higher end players, more elite players. And sometimes I still like she feel doesn't get enough credit is Moultrie. Mm. She is the only player on the league leaders board that is in the assist category top five and the scoring category top five. I mean, it's just incredible how impactful she is to the Portland Thorns, not only in between the boxes and what she does in and out of the game, but for her to start producing this year, scoring goals and getting assists is one of the biggest reasons that Portland is able to escalate to the top, like we were just saying, unexpectedly. So Moultrie for sure. Lacey Santos. I love that free kick so much. And I thought she had a good match as well. But for whatever reason, there hasn't been a ton of free kick goals yet this year. And that technique where she just slides it by everybody around the wall, far post, sneaks it in. Just brilliant from her in a pivotal moment in the game as well. And then my third player is the guest feature we just had, Riley Jackson. Big week for her going up to U.S. Women's National Team. And she had a great game today. Obviously, that assist was everything and just showed, you know, her ability on the ball. And she does belong higher up the pitch because the finesse she has in her final pass makes it easy for the finisher. And she had a great game through and through. So those are my three.
I love it.
Yeah, same. Same.
No, well, I will say, no. No, I love it.
Say it.
There wasn't like too much. I just love Tanaka. I feel like she could be in our team.
I know.
But these three players were incredible. So it, yeah.
Honestly, Tanaka and Manaka, I was like, can I do a diamond? Like, you know, I need four.
Rule should be known. We can switch up the formation. It does not have to be a 4-3-3. It can be a 3-5-2 if we wanted to.
Perfect. Next time anybody has the defenders and goalkeeper, then you can just be like, yep, 3-5-2. Good luck, everybody.
Well, Laura, you've got him, though. Why don't you take us through defenders and goalkeeper?
Okay, yes, I got the defenders and goalkeeper. So I'm going with Robineau for Utah. Thought she was outstanding also on the assist. And Utah should get credit, right? I mean, they've been fantastic. What a fantastic, just in general, start to the season. So credit to her. Also, McNabb for San Diego. Again, just clean sheet and also the work that this team, I mean, much love for their attack, but also just have to give so much credit to the way that they're defending consistently. Kurtz, Iron Woman for Denver, just insane to me. How many minutes she continues and has played. And again, all the things that you said, McCall, just a bit ago in terms of Denver and how their team was built. She's been such a cornerstone to the success early on in this season and will no doubt continue to be. And then Corey Dyke with the goal, but also has been asked to play center back, outside back, and has showed up in every challenge has been presented to her. So huge goal for her over the weekend on Friday night. So yeah, gets one of the player of the week honors. And then Toby Hogan in goal for Gotham. Yeah, obviously Ann Katrenberger has been such a mainstay in goal and a huge part of the way that they play. And so not easy if you have to step in and fill those shoes/boots. And Hogan certainly did that, got the clean sheet. So massive opportunity for her.
I love that. I think Corey Dyke, incredible.
Yeah.
Great game. Handed it to Kundinanji, like dealt with all the adversity from center back to outside back to basically being a winger at times. No problems for me. McCall, all good?
Love it all.
Well, coach of the week, everybody, fresh off of a win, 3 points going into the break, North Carolina coach Mack Lind. I just think he's done so well for this team. We talked about the confidence he's given these players, the refreshed togetherness, even hearing what Riley Jackson said, the staff was having them do. I think he deserves coach of the week, and we're all in agreeance. But Cole, do you want to give us our captain of the week? This is my suggestion. We're totally on board.
I mean, honestly, it has to be Banda. Who the hell he scores 2 goals and also gets the assist in a 3-1 win? I think that is just
Banda.
Extraordinary behavior. I mean, the dominance. And, you know, that's what a good goal scorer should do as well, is that if people know that you're a prolific goal scorer, then you're drawing in attention and attracting defenders. So you have to add that layer into your game to be a good passer as well, because you have an opportunity to elevate your team with getting assists. And yes, it's not the same amount of glory, but if you can add that to your caliber, and that's exactly what she's done, because she knows she's going to be double and triple teamed. That means someone's open. I got to find the right time to dish it, the right delivery, the right technique. Again, she is even improving, which is a scary thought. So, captain, tip your hat. You could lead any team in this league. Capitan.
Ballon d'Or shout. I'm already calling.
Yes.
She's got 18 games left to play, everybody, and already scored 11 goals. It's scary season when she comes back. Well, everybody, that was our week 10 recap. Happy summer. We are going to be back this Thursday at 11 a.m. to recap the first half of the NWSL season and look ahead at maybe some changes that we could see coming. But we had such a fun show. Thank you, everyone, whether you're watching here on YouTube, on GalazoNet, or listening as a POC. Like, comment, subscribe. Let us know what is going on. From Lori, McCall, Phil, and Audrey, I'm Darian. This was Attacking Third. Podcasts.